Okay, let's go to Amos chapter 6 if we could. Sorry about all those notices. Amos chapter 6, and a great chapter in this great book where God is again rebuking His people. And in this particular chapter, remember we looked in chapter 3 a few months ago about can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course the answer is we cannot walk with God unless we agree. But here in chapter 6, God is rebuking them for something else that carries on into the church that we need to take note of here in Amos chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamah the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall he say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, Have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts. And they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hemath unto the river of the wilderness. So I've entitled the message, Woe to them that are at ease. Let's pray. Our Lord, as we go to your word this morning, we thank you for the privilege, and we ask that you would, in a powerful way, be in control of everything, that the Holy Ghost would take the Word of God and work in each of our hearts, Lord, that we would open our hearts and hear from you and respond. And so, Lord, may your will be done in every life. Lord, if there's someone in our service not saved, may they know they need Christ today and come to him. Lord, the Christians, Lord, may we listen and allow the Holy Ghost to truly speak to us today. We give you this service. May you be glorified in it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God hates laziness. I don't know how else to say it. And the world is filled with lazy Christians. And I'm not talking about they're not willing to work their job. That's not the point. But they're not willing to work for Jesus. They're not willing to invest their time and energy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he called us to do. We have been called to his army. We have been called to serve him. And God here is rebuking his people, albeit Israel, but you're going to see the same applies to the church. For what? Being at ease. For taking it easy. And this is not God's will. And it's been the same all through the scriptures. Back from the time before they went into the promised land up to now, God does not want his children to be at ease. There's coming a day when we will, praise the Lord. It's called a time of rest. It's mentioned in Hebrews. But God says that time isn't here yet. The time of rest is in the future, in heaven. Let's go to Joshua 18. And I just want to show you a couple of examples from different parts of the Bible where God has this common theme of rebuking his people for taking it easy. Notice Joshua chapter 18, notice verse 3. This is as the children of Israel were going into the promised land. And notice what Joshua said to the children of Israel in Joshua 18, verse 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? He already gave it to them. He says, you just need to go and fight and take it. And Joshua is getting old and he says, how long are you slack? How long are you going to take it easy? Go possess the land that God's already given you. Now, if you would go to Proverbs 19, the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ had something to say about this. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15. The Bible says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now, I understand that that applies directly as far as physical labor, but it also applies spiritually. That idle Christians are hungry Christians. They're starving for Christian maturity, starving for Christian growth. And now to go to Matthew chapter 20, the words of Jesus Christ, and verse 6, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6. And Jesus here told a parable. And one of the points he made here in Matthew 20, verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Now, what do you think Jesus was trying to get a point across there? Was it just that we need to work physically? No. Jesus wants servants. And Jesus told us in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. When the trumpet blows, it's done. We're in heaven. It's finished. We'll be judged based on what we did here with the time and the talents, what God gave us. What did we do? Were we idle or were we serving Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, buying back the time, acknowledging that you only have so much time, using it for Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's why we're here. The Bible says we have been created unto good works in Ephesians 2:10. We are here to serve Jesus. And here in this passage, go back to Amos 6, what God gives us here is the results of taking it easy. And it's what happened to Israel and it's what happens to God's people. And the first thing that happens here in verse 1 is that Christians begin to trust other things, things other than God, primarily themselves. Notice he says, verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria. Say, what do those two have to do with each other? Because if we're trusting only God, it means that God is leading us and in control of our lives. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And guarantee you, if God is leading us and controlling our lives, we're busy serving Him. But they weren't busy. They were at ease. And what's the first thing that happened is they were trusting Samaria rather than God. And God has a lot to say about this. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, Psalm 118:8. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. We are not to trust anything but God. We're not to trust our own strength, our own wisdom, our own resources. We're not to trust man. We're not to trust this world. We're only to trust God. But if we are a Christian that's taking it easy, one of the first things that's going to happen is when we're going to be trusting in earthly things rather than God. So that's the first thing that happens. We'll look at the second thing that happens is we begin to focus on pleasing self. Notice it says in verse 2, starting at verse 3. Ye that put far away the evil day, cause the seed of violence to come near. Verse 4. You lie upon beds of ivory. They stretch themselves upon their couches. They eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. Do you see a theme here? Spoiling the flesh. Pleasing self. That's our world today, isn't it? It's all about self, self, self. Making self happy. Pleasing self. You go to a worldly counselor, what do they say? Well, whatever makes you happy. What about what makes God happy? You see? And if our focus is self, we're on a dangerous road. And that's what happened to Israel. Their focus was on themselves rather than on God. Go to Deuteronomy 8, if you would, and I'll show you an example here in the life of Israel. Just prior to Moses departing and turning over the leadership to Joshua, he gave them a warning. Because he knows, God knows, what we're like. And God knows that we have a tendency to be lazy. I know I do, but maybe none of you do. But God says it's a problem. Notice Deuteronomy 8, verse 12. This is Moses warning the children of Israel from God. He says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And we wonder why we need so many trials in our lives. You know why? Because we're selfish. And let's face it. We pray more when things are tough than when things are going good. That's the facts. And God created us for fellowship. God wants us to spend time with Him. And we spend less time with Him when things are good than when things are tough. Those are the facts. And Moses said, you guys, when you first get into the promised land, it's going to be really good. You're going to have your own houses and God's just going to keep blessing and things are going to be amazing. You know what your tendency is going to be? To forget God. To focus on pleasing the self. Now go to Luke 21 where Jesus warned of the same thing. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke chapter 21, notice verse 34. Jesus here warning us, knowing us. Jesus made us. He knows the fallen man's tendencies. Notice He says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. That word surfeiting means excessiveness. Boy, if that doesn't characterize today's society. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. And so, when we're at ease, not only do we tend to stop trusting the Lord and start trusting the wrong things, but we also tend to be focusing more on pleasing self than on pleasing our Lord. It's all about self. What did Jesus say to the church at Laodicea? He said, you're lukewarm. I would rather you were cold or hot rather than lukewarm. And what was their problem? They said, we have need of nothing. That's today's Christianity. I don't need anything. When we need everything. We need God's wisdom. We need God's strength. We need God's power. But we get into this lull of thinking that we have everything we need. And it just becomes about spoiling self. So number one, we begin to trust other things. Number two, we begin to focus on pleasing self. Number three, look at verse 6 of Amos chapter 6. It says, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. The third thing that happens is judgment doesn't bother us like it used to. They should have been grieved. They should have been brokenhearted over the condition of the day. But they weren't. You know what happens when a Christian is at ease? Judgment stops bothering them. They no longer look at the world like Jesus did and see them as sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. They no longer weep over the lost who are going to perish and burn in hell forever and ever. It just doesn't bother them like it used to, because they're at ease. You know, the Bible says that he that believeth not on the Son is condemned already in John 3:18. When we're out and about in town, when we're at work, our family members that aren't saved, they're already condemned. They're going to hell. And those are the facts from God's Word. And it used to bother us. But if we're at ease, it doesn't bother us like it used to. God says, you're not grieved about the affliction. You're not grieved by these judgments. It doesn't bother you anymore. And that's what happens to Christians too. Look at John chapter 4, verse 35, where Jesus warned that this attitude would happen in talking about the condition of the world. John chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It's all about perspective. He said, I want you to see what I see. I see people that need Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus sees. That need to hear about Jesus Christ. But if judgment doesn't bother you anymore, because you are at ease, the attitude will be different. You know, the Bible says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Judgment and evil just doesn't bother a Christian that's taking it easy. And so firstly, what happens? Start trusting other things. Start focusing on pleasing self, being selfish. Judgment doesn't bother you like it used to. Look at the fourth thing that happens. Verse 10, and a man's uncle shall take him up, he shall burn at them. And he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. Well, that's a scary one. We may not make mention of the name of the Lord. The fourth thing that happens is we just start pushing God out of our lives. Yeah, we're Christians. Yeah, we're going to heaven. But God isn't the focus anymore, because we're at ease. You say, oh, I'm a Christian, this will never happen. Really? Do you talk about God as much as you did the first week you got saved? Think about it. In talking about this wicked world, the Bible says in Romans 1:28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the world. They don't want to think about there being a God. They don't even want to talk about God because they don't want to be accountable to God. But what about Christians? We're to be talking about the Lord. We're to be making mention of the name of the Lord. David said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. God wants us to be talking about him all the time. But if we're at ease, not so much. Go to Psalm 71, if you would. And David here makes an interesting statement about what he wants to talk about. Look at verse 15. Psalm 71. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Psalm 71. Look down in verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. David says, you know what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about God. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. My mouth shall show forth thy salvation. I will make mention of thy righteousness. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. But a Christian that is at ease, the fourth thing that happens, they stop talking about God so much. And yet He's the one that saved us from hell, gave us eternal life, is making a mansion for us in heaven, lives in us, will never leave us nor forsake us. But when we're at ease, we just don't talk about Him as much as we should. And what happens? The last thing, look at verse 13 of our passage, Amos chapter 6. This is the progression. The first thing that happens is start trusting other things. The second thing, focusing on pleasing the flesh, pleasing self. The third thing that happens, judgment doesn't bother us anymore. The fourth thing, start pushing God out of the picture. Don't talk about Him like we used to. And the last thing, verse 13, ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? This ties into the first thing. It's the final progression. And that is, once we've started not talking about and thinking about God as much, it starts being about us. Look what I did. You know what we did for God? Absolutely nothing. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you did something for God, God did it. Because God lives in you. And God gave you the strength and the air to breathe. And God allowed it to happen. It's all about God. But when we're at ease, it becomes all about us. Now, this lie's been around for a long time in human history. Matter of fact, right from the beginning. What did the devil say to Eve? God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods. That's what he told Eve. Well, that's what she wanted. And ultimately, that's one of our biggest problems is pride. And if we're at ease, eventually we begin to think, wow, look what I did. Wow, I'm a pretty good person. Wow, I'm a pretty good Christian. And as soon as you start thinking those thoughts, you're right where the devil wants you. Because the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But Israel was saying, look what we did in our own strength. Jesus says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? We can't. And yet God gave us everything in Jesus Christ. He gave us eternal life. He gave us a home in heaven. He gives us His presence and His power and His wisdom. He gave us His word. He gave us so much. But if we're at ease, if we're not careful, we'll begin to think that we had something to do with it. And hence all the cults and religions of the world that say, well, I got to get myself to heaven by doing stuff, which is just blasphemy against God, who says there is only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we improve upon that? But even as Christians, the Bible says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God is the one that should always get the glory, and it's all about Him, and He's the one that makes it all possible. But if we're not careful, we'll get at ease, and we'll start thinking we're not so bad. And that's when we're in trouble. And that's what happened to Israel. So woe to them that are at ease, God said. Look what happened. They started trusting other things. They started focusing on pleasing self. Judgment didn't bother them anymore. They eventually stopped talking about God as much. And then finally, they started believing that they were accomplishing things in their own strength. All of those things are the results of being at ease. So what's the solution? Well, that's pretty easy. Get to work for Jesus. Put Him first. We need to be praying for revival in our own hearts. Revival in our church, revival in this country. Revival has very little to do with people getting saved. That is the secondary result. Revival is when God's people get right with God. And when God's people get right with God, then people get saved. But it starts with God's people getting right. And if our attitude is, I'm just going to cruise my way to heaven, we're not right. We're here to serve. We're here to work. We're here to fight for Jesus Christ. And God says to us, woe to them that are at ease.